2008. Got a bunch of stuff to look at today, including a lot with Elite XC and KJ Nunes, as well as some other stuff. But we'll start with Antonio Silva and his camp denying any steroid use by Silva after he was suspended on Thursday by the California State Athletic Commission. And fined $2,500 for failing a drug test due to boldenone, which MMA Junkie reports is an anabolic steroid designed for veterinary use. This is from the July 26th Elite XC event. Elite XC's head of fight operations, Jeremy Lappin, says that Silva will not be stripped of the title until all facts are known. Silva's manager has said that he did not use any banned substances leading up to his fight, and that they'll go to the quote go to the very gates of hell to prove it. Silva's manager's name is Alex Davis, and according to MMA Junkie, he wrote a he posted on the Underground, an MMA forum, and this is what he's quoted as saying: "Dear family, friends, fans, and public, I did not use the steroid, boldenone, or any other steroid or prohibited substance. I don't agree and never have agreed with the use of this kind of product in order to win, for this is cheating. I will go to the full extent of my power and the law to prove my innocence in this matter. My friends, Antonio is one of the hardest working, most serious athletes I know. He also is a man that holds high his principles. We don't know at this point how he tested positive for a horse steroid, but what we do know is that he doesn't make use of these kinds of products. However, we will find out or die trying. We are always reading about guys getting caught and declaring their innocence, and it is always met with a degree of skepticism, but the truth is that career-hurting mistakes are being made, and it is high time that we find out how and why they happen. We are extremely sure of ourselves in this matter and are willing to go to the very gates of hell to prove that we are being wronged. Hopefully this will not only clear Antonio, but also help clear other people that have had the same thing happen to them." That's from Antonio Silva's camp. We'll definitely stay tuned to this as they go through their appeals process and try to find out what exactly transpired and how he tested positive for this substance. Lappin, in a release from Elite XC, stated that, this is his quote as according to MMA Junkie, "We respect the California Commission and the job they do. We always enjoy working with them and work very well together. The illegal use of steroids is a problem in all major sports, including mixed martial arts. We certainly do not condone the use of steroids. But we also support, trust, and have confidence in our fighter, Antonio Silva, who has denied ever taking any illegal substance, including steroids, and is prepared to challenge the results of the California Commission. So until all the facts are known and a final decision is rendered, Elite XC will reserve making any further comments at this time." So that's what we got out of Silva's camp and Elite XC. They seem pretty confident, and they're going on. They're asserting, obviously, heavily that he did not do anything, and they are going to fight it. So we'll see if they stick to that, and as I said, we'll just follow that and see what comes of it. As I had mentioned in yesterday's daily update, Elite XC gave KJ Nunes and his camp an 8 p.m. Eastern Time deadline to sign a agreement to fight Nick Diaz on the October 4th event. That is not going to happen. Noon's manager, Mark Dion, told MMA Junkie yesterday that he's unconcerned with Jared Shaw's demands. He's very arrogant in this interview and very... he comes off as very difficult to work with here, and it's a little ridiculous from Noon's camp here, with Dion saying, as far as Nick Diaz, he's not the number one contender out there. To Elite XC, he is. He's the number one for getting eyeballs to watch them. They're pushing on eyeballs versus a career move for a champion like KJ. KJ is really not the one who gets anything out of the fight. Diaz does, and so does Pro Elite. You know, that's how they're going with it, but considering KJ won on a stoppage from a cut, you know, and a lot of people thought Diaz was going to win that fight, and he's, you know, he's won three fights in a row, and it's a fight that Elite XC certainly believes Diaz has earned, and I'm sure the fight that many people want to see, and Elite XC is allowing them to get into very dangerous territory here with how this is going across, because they're undercutting their champion, and at the same time their champion is coming across as someone who's wanting to pick their opponent, and Elite XC can't allow that to happen. This could get uglier than it is right now, and yeah, definitely check out the story on MMA Junkie with the interview with Mark Dion to just see the tone of how he comes across here. So it's definitely worth checking out, and you'll get a sense of where Noon's camp is at with that. More Elite XC news. Sure Dog has a article on Elite XC's impending doom being averted for now. That's from today by Loretta Hunt over at Sure Dog. Just kind of going through what's been going on recently with the cancellations of a couple of the shows under the Pro Elite banner. Jake Shields talking or wanting to accept a more challenging bout with a top five middleweight through another promotion, and the stuff with KJ and Kimbo Slice and all that stuff too. So it's worth checking out, and another thing to keep an eye out for going forward is how Elite XC handles their busy month and a half coming up, starting in October with that October 4th show. Actually, at the end of September, on the 26th, I believe they have a show XC fight scheduled. So we're still waiting to hear who Kimbo Slice is going to face on October 4th. And Elite XC, it's another situation where they don't look great with not putting together that Brett Rogers fight, because they kind of want to give him someone a little more beatable than that. So we'll see what happens with them here in the next couple of weeks, and in the month leading up to their next show on the 4th. To some UFC news, Dana White confirmed yesterday that UFC 91 will take place November 15th in Portland, Oregon. Kenny Florian and Joe Stevenson have been confirmed for that card. Also rumored, as I said yesterday, is the Brock Lesnar-Chuck Congo fight. And he also stated, as Alex Williams posted today on the main site in his MMA blog, that George St. Pierre and BJ Penn, that fight will take place January 31st, Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. Also, on Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli's article that stated this. Also has a comment on Wanderlei Silva not being on the UFC 92 card December 27th, as he stated he thought he would fight on that card. He said that at a Fight Club, at the Fight Club Q&A that was back for UFC 87 at the Target Center. So looks like he's going to be off of that. So that'll only be the one fight for Wanderlei this year. His 36-second knockout of Keith Jardine back at UFC 84. So it's quite a long time off for him if he's being moved off of that. But Dana said he doesn't know for sure on that, so he doesn't have more on that. Speaking of this year's MMA events, the new edition of MMA Live from ESPN has UFC's pay-per-view buys for the year so far. The two shows in England, UFC 80 and UFC 85, both did 225,000 buys, which, as Michael David Smith on AOL Sports, this is where I got these numbers, states, it's pretty impressive that they can get more than 200,000 people to plunk down $50 a piece to watch card like UFC 85 on a Saturday afternoon. Those are his words, and it's definitely true. Especially when you look at buys, the numbers are damned impressive for UFC on a regular basis. When you look at another wrestling you look at wrestling organizations, WWE is getting better than that, those numbers for their big pay-per-views, but domestically they're pay-per-view numbers have just been way down to years past. UFC's Spike TV, brother promotion in TNA, and more like little redhead stepchild promotion, they're sitting on 25 to 30,000 buys for their shows, and they have a weekly audience of a million people each week, too. So UFC is doing really well. It's worth noting, UFC 87 is believed to have done more, somewhere between 500 and 600,000 buys. And if it does more than 525,000, that means that the two shows that Brock Lesnar was on this year would be the most lucrative, as UFC 81 is the highest grossing show of the year so far with 650,000 buys. Next was UFC 83, the St. Pierre Matt Serra rematch with 525,000 buys. And then next up after that was UFC 86 at 520,000 buys. That was the Griffin Rampage. Rounding it out, UFC 84 with 475,000 buys and UFC 82 at 325,000 buys. So UFC has done well this year. As far as pay-per-views goes, they've put together a lot of really good cards, and they're getting a lot of people to watch their average cards as well. So the rest of their schedule for this year, obviously, we've got UFC 88 on September 6th in Atlanta. Ultimate Fight Night on the 17th in Omaha, Nebraska. UFC 89, October 18th in England. UFC 90, October 25th in Chicago. UFC 91, November 15th in Portland. The Ultimate Fighter finale on December 13th in Las Vegas. And UFC 92 on December 27th in Las Vegas. So, that is your schedule for the rest of the year for the UFC. And that's all I've got for you today. So, thank you once again. And check out Jason Bent's new column, Fight Club or Fit Club, talking about Roy Nelson not being picked up by the UFC due to his looks. So check out that article, and check back again tomorrow for another daily audio update.